the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. God's way is not our way. And our way, the way that we do things, is not God's way. We see this most clearly, my friends, as we contemplate and we look at the defining characteristics of God's kingdom, the characteristic of his kingdom, that is grace. That is to say, contrary to what we assume, grace is undeserved, it is unearned, and even unexpected. God's grace, which is his undeserved favor towards you and me as sinners, is not even domesticated. It is not something that we can barter with. It does not act the way that we think it should. We hear all about this in our gospel reading from this morning as Jesus shares a parable with us. In other words, as he shares a story with us. Looking more closely at this parable, we hear about the workers in the vineyard. Some worked 12 hours and some worked 1. But at the end of the day, they were all graciously paid the very same amount. In other words, everyone was generously and fairly compensated the exact same rate. And no one was shortchanged. No one was shortchanged by the landowner. Everyone was treated the same, regardless of the amount of work done. There were no comparisons made, no ranking or classification of workers, and no compensation scales. This resulted in no room for self-promotion, no occasions for this competition, no basis on which one could say to another, "I am more important than you are." The work, it indeed varied, but the same gracious compensation was given. Now, contrary to what we might think, Jesus was not attempting to teach a socialistic economics when he told us this story, but rather, he was showing what it means to be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, as a gift of God. My friends, this is the way that it is with the kingdom of God. It runs the way of gift. And since it runs the way of gift, the Lord's grace cannot be confined, it cannot be controlled, and it cannot be dispensed on the basis of our agendas, our ethnic heritages, our church backgrounds, our spiritual resumes, the length of time that we have been in the church, or our roles in the church, our accomplishments, our community status, and so forth. Put frankly, the Lord's grace is not dispensed in the way that a can of soda is dispensed. That is, when loose change is inserted and a button is pressed on a vending machine so that we can yield and obtain this soda by our own choosing. We cannot purchase grace with our change, and we cannot press the Lord's buttons. The Lord is not so easily manipulated by us naming and cataloging our good works in order to present these good works in exchange for a payment of grace. This irritates us, though. It really does. It really irritates us down at the very basement of who we are. The kingdom of God and this grace, this gift of grace, it really does annoy us. The reason why? We become easily angered. And we resort to believing that this grace is unfair when we start comparing ourselves to other people. There's no doubt about it, we do this. It works like this. Subconsciously, we compare our accomplishments and our spiritual resumes to other people. And then we believe that we should have more favor from God than our neighbor who we believe is less deserving than us. Then, when we least expect it, we find ourselves standing shoulder to shoulder with this person whom we have already deemed to be less than us. We find ourselves standing shoulder to shoulder with them at the altar, receiving the same gift of grace, no more and no less. It really is scandalous, is it not? You and I, we can do all sorts of good works for the kingdom of God, and then at the end of the day, we get the same body and the same blood at the same altar as our neighbor. If only we could undo this justice, maybe we could remedy this. Maybe if we got two sips of wine and two wafers of bread, maybe this could make up for that injustice, so we think. Our apparent injustice actually reveals something much deeper about us, though. It reveals that when we are angered by this injustice of grace, that we are working for pay and not really for the Lord. It reveals that we do not understand grace, but we only see our own self-centeredness. You see, the grumbling workers of our text that we have read, this parable, this story in the Gospel of Matthew, they did not work for the master, but they were working for the pay for themselves. Their interest was not in doing what needed to be done in the vineyard, or because the Lord placed them there to begin with, but rather, they were in the vineyard putting in their work in order to exchange that work for a payout. Dear friends, let it be clear that grace, this precious gift of grace, cannot be bought off. The kingdom of God does not work this way. Before we go down this dark road, may it be clear to us that this story, this parable, is not about what mankind thinks is fair or just. It is not about how we can earn grace. It is not about us attempting to control and manage and earn grace. It is not about how we can self-promote ourselves in the kingdom of God in order to warrant special handouts. And frankly, it is not about us at all. It really has nothing to do with our doings, our works. Rather, this parable, this story, is all about the gracious landowner and how the landowner generously compensates those and infuriates others. It is a parable about the Lord's rich and abounding and mighty and powerful disposition towards those who do not deserve it. It is about grace that does not depend on works and what people think they deserve. It is about grace that is lavished out upon the unworthy for Christ's sake. In short, the Lord rewards those who don't deserve it, for that is what grace is. He loves those who hate and abuse him. He gives gifts to losers and sinners, and he is gracious and merciful and good and true despite the thoughts and the words and the deeds of mankind. The workers who worked all day, they grumbled though. They worked all day long, some 12 hours, and they grumbled because they saw themselves as more entitled and within a separate class of individuals. And what set them apart from other workers? They saw themselves as entitled. And we too, my friends, are prone to this very sin in regard to the kingdom of heaven. When we begin to think that the Lord somehow owes us a special status in this kingdom and owes us grace for what we have done and what we have not done. We too sin when we think that we can somehow manage and manipulate and control and domesticate the Lord's grace as if his grace must respond to who we are and what we do. Dear friends, repent. Repent, one and all. Repent, both you and me. Repent of this way of thinking. The thing about this parable is this, that it will always remain scandalous and unfair. It will always remain scandalous and unfair as long as we see ourselves as the entitled ones, for that is the default position of the old Adam, our sinful nature. But with that stated, what exactly do we think that we are entitled to? Fleshing this out and working this out a bit more, what is ours to take? What have we earned? If God were to give us $10, if he were to give us a $10 bill for every word of praise or thanksgiving or encouragement we spoke in the past week, but were to take $1 away from us every time we complained or griped or grumbled or gossiped, what would we have left? Would we have any money left at all? I doubt it. Dear friends, bluntly stated, no matter how polished our good works, no matter how clean our resumes, and no matter how many hours of devotion we have put in, even if it is a full day of work, we must never forget that all we can earn by our own reason, our own strength, our own power is complete damnation. That is our paycheck. That is our wage. The only thing that we can offer the Lord is our sin, sin that does not yield life but wages death and hell and despair. Do not despair, though. Do not despair. For like the jobless people in the marketplace of today's story, you have been called and you have been placed into God's vineyard as a worker, some of you early in the morning at your baptism as an infant, and others of you later in the day at an older age. There will be others added to the vineyard with you in the evening, that is to say, on their deathbed. Regardless of the time, though, you all have been graciously called. Yes, you, sitting right there, you have all been graciously called. You have all been placed into the kingdom of God because you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord is gracious. Most certainly, you are welcomed into the kingdom, but this does not come without a cost. Yes, it does not come out without a cost. What is the cost, though? The cost is the expensive and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, blood that was shed for you. Yes, indeed, in this vineyard, this kingdom, in Christ's church, you have learned and will continue to learn that the defining characteristic of the Lord is unearned and undeserved grace, all for you at Christ's expense. Now, as a disciple within this gracious kingdom of heaven, you will work in serving your neighbor, and you will walk in the vocations that the Lord has actually placed you to be, as the Holy Spirit leads and sanctifies you day by day. Yes, these good works and vocations are given from the Lord to you, and you've been called to them to simply walk. Being called into the vineyard, you will continually receive undeserved and unearned grace and mercy that has been gifted to you for Christ's sake. It is all pure gift. Furthermore, dear baptized saints, in the days to come, when you and I find ourselves caught up in the mindset of entitlement or find ourselves believing that we can earn God's grace by our own doings, Be assured that the Lord in his grace will not bend to your or my demands, but rather will exceed the desires of our selfish hearts. Case in point, as you stand right here, shoulder to shoulder with your brothers and sisters that you sit across from, you all have different lengths of sins, you have different lists of sins, different ways that you have failed in thought, word, and deed this past week, the past month, and the past years, yet you all will stand shoulder to shoulder, receiving the same body and the same blood of Jesus Christ for the same complete forgiveness of all of your sins. Rejoice and be glad. Indeed, in the days to come, when you slip into comparing yourselves with others, your baptism remains steadfast and remains true for you and for your brothers and sisters, who were all baptized into the same name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, from the same baptismal font into the same death and the same resurrection. Rejoice and be glad in Jesus Christ. Given the good news that we have heard thus far, it can be faithfully and confidently asserted that in Christ's church, no one can tame and limit and legislate the Lord's grace. The Lion of Judah will not be tamed. The flowing grace from Mount Calvary cannot be dammed up. The cup overflows for you today and for you tomorrow and for you in the days to come. As the workers received a full day's wage for only an hour of work, it is the same for you. In fact, it is better for you. For you are no longer a mere worker being overpaid, but by God's grace, you are now all members of the family, co-owners of the kingdom, and the bride of the Son. Yes, you remain with him. Blessed saints, may God in his mercy keep this ever new to us and for us, that our hearts would not grow cold or take his grace for granted. May he keep us ever mindful of the cost of his love in the death of his Son and the fulfillment of this love in his resurrection as he provides once again for us daily his risen body and his blood, this precious grace for each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.